Brother and sister, the Apostle Paul recognized that God is the one who opens the door for the word, and so must we. Much of the evangelism these days is pushing the gospel down non-believers' throats. Paul didn't do this. Paul was totally dependent on Christ, knowing that only he opens the word, and he asked for prayer for God to open the door for the word.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, what's in your message today for us to learn from this portion of Scripture?
Well, Dave, as we're going to see as we continue to look at our passage in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, we're going to see how we are to relate to outsiders, but more specifically that it is through prayer that God opens the doors for the word. And so with that in mind, let's get to our passage. Turn with us to Colossians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 2 through 6.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Continually acknowledge your dependence on him and then trust him to do what he says. So let me ask you, and I ask myself this, how's your prayer life? Do you pray continually? Do you have a running conversation with the Lord? Not perfectly, I understand that, right? Are you sharing everything with him? You know, when you have a relationship with somebody, you share your life with them, right? We have a relationship with the living God. We're sharing with him, right? If sin and selfishness is in the way, just confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive it. That happens to us. We get focused. We get redirected. We get sidetracked. Lord God, forgive me. I just have forgotten about you, practically speaking. We know the Lord. We love him, but we can forget about him, practically speaking, in our daily stuff, right? I think the same thing happens when it comes to evangelism, as we're going to see. So back in our passage, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then notice he says, keeping alert in it. The term here is, I think it's where my name came from, Gregor A'o, okay? It speaks of being on the alert. It means paying attention to. Keeping watch. It's used to speak of keeping watch. We know in 1 Peter chapter 5, we are to be of sober spirit. We are to Gregor A'o, be on the alert. For our adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, right? But resist him firm in the faith. Prayer is of utmost importance because we actually have an enemy also who wants to sidetrack us, who wants to cause us to fall in regards to faith. Remember in the garden what the Lord Jesus told his disciples? He said in Matthew 26:41, keep watching. That's our word, Gregor A'o. Be alert. Be alert and praying that you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Got to pray. Not only are we to be awake and alert, but there's an implication that we're to be expecting the Lord to answer our prayers. We're waiting for him. We're watching for him, right? We're praying expectantly. We believe he's going to answer according to his will. So with that in mind, I often think we forget we're in a spiritual battle. We forget that. And if you're familiar with military tactics, some of you might be if you've been in the military, what does the enemy do before a big invasion? Cuts off lines of communication. You are vulnerable when you're not praying. You are vulnerable. We need to stay in contact with our captain, with our Lord, right? Okay. Do you pray alertly? Is your mind focused on addressing the living God? Are you aware, or are your thoughts scattered all over the place? Gather them up. I was talking about that word in Galatians chapter 5 that's translated self-control. It's literally from kratos. Kratos is might. It's from might. Gather up your thoughts by the Spirit's power, right? From his might and power, be controlled. Don't let your thoughts over the place. Keep them focused on the Lord. Set your mind on things above. Right? Fix your eyes on Jesus, right? So, do you pray alertly? How's your communication with your Lord and Savior? Is it cut by sin, indifference, disabled by laziness, or distorted by worldliness? There's a war going on. We need to trust our Lord. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and of sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Get your thoughts straight. So we're to be devoted to prayer and alert in it, but notice we're also to pray thankfully. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Aren't thankful people a blessing? You bet they are. People who acknowledge things that have been done for them, they're thankful. And when people aren't thankful, isn't that kind of like, oh, you know? You're not trying to judge them or anything, but it's just like, you know? Here, we're to be thankful. We're to have an attitude of thanksgiving, and this is towards the Lord. And this is in the context of prayer. It needs to be part of our life. And if we're not thankful, I bet your prayer life is really non-existent or very self-centered, one or the other. We're to be continually giving thanks. And we see Paul doing this throughout his epistles, giving thanks to the Lord for what he's done. You see gratitude pouring forth. We see we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer with supplication, with thanksgiving. We're to make our quest known to the Lord, Philippians 4:6. And I would say if you're not thankful and you're a true believer, something's wrong with your walk in Christ. Something's in the way. You got to get that focus, get that stuff out of there, confess whatever it needs to be. And if you have never been thankful, I would say you might not have ever been saved. You see, Romans 1 reveals that unthankfulness is a characteristic of the unsaved heart. And they did not give thanks. They suppressed the truth and unrighteousness, did not give thanks. So if you find yourself saved and you find yourself not being thankful in your prayers, that you don't pray in the context of gratitude, maybe sorrow or sin or selfishness has blurred your vision. You need to get your eyes back on Jesus, confess if need be, and focused on Jesus. You set your mind on the things above, not the things of earth. You need to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, and let the Word of God dwell richly. Indeed, earlier in Colossians, we see Paul is very thankful. Look back in chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love, which you have as saints. Praise the Lord, you're real believers. We thank God, you're the real deal. Isn't that great? When you have so many people name the name of Christ, but we meet a true believer, praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk him by faith, right? And he says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, as we get instructed and we believe the truth, we're established in the faith and we walk that way. And notice what he says. He says here, overflowing with gratitude. If you think of some overflowing, what do you think of? It's overflowing, right? I think our gratitude is the bottom of the cup at times. We should be overflowing with gratitude. Thank you, Lord, so much for what you've done for me. Thank you for today. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church. Thank you so much for your grace upon me. Thank you for the job I have, Lord God. Thank you so much. Thank you that you have helped me in everything. Thank you. You've never let me down. There should be thankfulness overflowing. And we see later on, in chapter 3, look at verse 15. Notice the word and God's peace is all surrounded with thankfulness. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If you're not thankful, something's wrong. There's sin in the way. Or maybe there's sorrow in the way. Your attention has been pulled off of Jesus. It's been pulled off of Jesus. But we got a good God. Get back in the Word of God. Confess if you need to that you've been too focused on these things, and thank him that you know no matter what you're going through, he's going to work together for good. You know, you start thanking him according to his truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Now, of course, it's not saying, oh, Lord, I thank you that I broke my knee. You know, I thank you that you've helped me. I thank you for the doctors. I thank you that you're healing me. I thank you for what you're doing through it. I thank you you're going to turn this good. All right? We're to present tense, continually give thanks for everything. And then we see in Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with song. I shall magnify him with the thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. We should come into our prayers thanking him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. So then, are you thankful? Are you thankful or are you a complainer? We're to do all things without complaining and arguing, right? We're not to be like the world. We're not to be complaining. We're to be thankful. You see, when you're thankful, that means you're seeing the Lord rightly. You see, he's going to work it out. He's going to take care of it. He's doing right. You're thanking him for what he's doing. You're thanking him for what he will do. You're thanking him for what he's promised. So then we're to be devoted to prayer, keeping alert and being thankful. But notice our passage moves to a specific request from the Apostle Paul, which will help us understand how to relate to non-believers, and I believe is the missing ingredient in much of our evangelism. Notice what he says here. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well. We're to be praying for one another. He says, devote yourselves to prayer and pray for us as well. We're to be praying for other believers. Two passages in the Thessalonians, first and second. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, brethren, pray for us. Pray. The writer of Hebrews says this. Hebrews 13:18-19, pray for us. For we are sure that we have a good conscience, designed to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, that I may restore to you sooner. Pray for us. Pray for us. So notice this. Now, what is his request specifically? Verse 3, and praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word. This is what's missing in evangelism. He doesn't pray for us that we can talk someone into the kingdom. Pray for us that we can do this or that. Pray for us that God would open a door for the word. I think much of our evangelism falls very short because it's about the word of God concerning Christ. As we'll see in a minute, it's about the word concerning the mystery of Christ, who he is, what he's done. You know, we need to have ready on our hearts God's word. Well, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. You may not know this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A door for the word to go forth, to share the truth, that Jesus didn't come to judge the world, but that the world be saved through him, right? That he is indeed the Savior of the world, and that one day is fixed a day in which God will judge through the man Jesus, whom he appointed, having furnished proof by raising him from the dead. That God would open a door for the word. Now, Paul could have said, pray that we'll be set free from these Roman chains, pray for we'll set free from these ailments, and there's nothing wrong with praying about everything. Nothing wrong with that. But his focus is about being about God's work wherever he is. So what can we learn from this? He prays for an open door for the word. You could literally translate verse 3 this way. This is how I've translated it. Praying at the same time also concerning us, in order that God may open to us a door of the word to speak the mystery of Christ. The door is for the word. It's a door of the word. It's an agenitive. It's a door of the word. Now, unlike the overzealous man or woman on the street corner screaming repent, or the evangelist priming the gospel pump with music, Paul recognized that it is the word of Christ, as we'll see, that saves. It is the word concerning Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so what is he praying for? Again, a door to speak the word concerning Christ. And again, our evangelism needs to be from the word. We need to know some basic truths from God's word concerning the gospel. We need to have those ready. A door for the word. You say, I pray for a door for the word, and then it opens the door, and we don't, you know, Jesus loves you, you know, or something like that, right? Well, that's true. But we need to share the truth. Our evangelism needs to be from the Word in the context of reality, right? Not some just spouting verses out. About Christ as he opens the door, answering our prayers. Brother and sister, the Apostle Paul recognized that God is the one who opens the door for the Word, and so must we. Much of the evangelism these days is pushing the gospel down non-believers' throats. Paul didn't do this. Paul was totally dependent on Christ, knowing that only he opens the Word, and he asked for prayer for God to open the door for the Word. Remember Paul's report when he returned from his first missionary journey in Acts 14? Acts 14:26. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had accomplished. And when they arrived and gathered together the church, they began to report all the things that God had done with them, how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Well, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. How God did that. It's not we saved 633 at our conference. It's how God did it. In Revelation, the Lord Jesus, speaking to the churches, says, "Behold, I put before you an open door which no one can shut." If God opens the door, no one's going to shut it. I think we so often try to open the doors ourselves through our own wisdom or through our own desire. We love people. We want to be saved. Maybe the heart is right in that sense, but it's not right if we're not obeying the Lord. So here, it is God who opens the doors for the word, and Paul requests for an open door. And then notice what he says, "So that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned." The open door for the word is for speaking forth the mystery of Christ. He said, "What's the mystery of Christ?" We'll go back in Colossians. Let's take a look. Look at chapter 1, verse 24. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's sufferings. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship that from God bestowed upon me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his spirit's going to go in you. And you're going to be saved forever. And you're going to be glorified. Colossians 2, verse 1. "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth which comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself." It's about Jesus. "In whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." God would open a door to speak from the word concerning Christ. Christ died for your sins according to scriptures. He was buried. He rose from the dead. It's the good news that you can have eternal life. So Paul is saying it's for this eternally grand truth that he has also been, look at end of verse 3, imprisoned. "For which I have been imprisoned." Paul was imprisoned under house arrest in Rome, chained 24/7 for the gospel. And he's praying for open doors for the word to proclaim it. What does he tell the Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians 3:1. I'll read this for you. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you." I think the missing element of evangelism is praying for God to open the doors for the word. It's part of it. And notice the Apostle Paul also shares that he needs God's strength and ability to do what he needs to do when that door's open. We pray for open doors, but we've got to pray that once that door's open, you will enable me to speak boldly what you've called me to say. So one is open door, but what do I do when no door's open? I need prayer for that too. Notice what he says here. "Praying at the same time," verse 3, "for us as well, that God may open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned." And here you go. "In order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak." Paul understood he is gifted. He understood he was a preacher and a teacher, he says, but he also says he's an apostle, right? But he understood without God, he couldn't do it. and therefore this humble and right request in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Not that we're adequate to consider anything that's coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5. The term make it clear means to manifest in the way I ought to. It speaks of compulsion and proper words. Lord, when you open the door, enable me to share your gospel, to share your truth the way I ought to share it. Paul shares dependence. You know, he said he came to the Corinthians in fear and trembling. Guess what? It's a fearful thing when God opens doors, you've got to speak to people, right? But you trust the Lord and you allow him to do it through you and he'll do it. Clear dependence on Christ. He needs to open doors and then how to speak when the doors open. And oh, that we would minister that way in total dependence. I have to. There's no way I could preach to you unless I was totally dependent. It's impossible. Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 6. And pray on my behalf, verse 19, that the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for me. Pray for each other. That we would speak boldly as we ought to speak when God opens the door. He doesn't say, I'll speak boldly. He's talking about the door open and speaking boldly. So many Christians speak boldly when the door is shut. It's easy to do that in a sense, in your own flesh. You speak boldly when he opens the door. Acts chapter 4, we have an example of a prayer of these believers when Peter and John had been released. At the end of their prayer, Acts 4:29, he says, And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence. And it says, the earth shook and they did. They spoke the word. The Lord hears our prayers. We need to recognize how important prayer is and how powerful prayer is. I don't think we realize it. James chapter 5, verse 16, in the end, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the sky poured forth rain, and the earth produced fruit. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. You know you're going to have non-believers around you when you go to work. You pray, Lord God, and you pray for one another that you'd open a door for the word. And when you do that, it would speak it the way you would have us speak it, that we ought to speak. So often our interactions, I believe, fall short because we're not devoted to prayer. And then the Lord opens the door and we don't share rightly because we're not dependent on him. So first of all, how are we to interact towards non-believers? We're to be praying consistently. We're praying for open doors and that we would share rightly when God opens that door, open doors for the word. And secondly, notice we are to be around them in the context of wisdom. And most of it we're going to see in terms of our words.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Well, Dave, our takeaway is this, that we should be praying for open doors to speak the word of God to those who don't know Christ. You see, it is only God who opens doors, and so many times we try to force those doors open, but it is God that opens doors for his word. And we also need to be ready to share God's word when those doors are opened. So many times we're caught off guard. We're not ready to share the wonderful truths of the gospel. We need to be ready to give an account for why we have hope. Okay, well, we're not done with this wonderful passage yet. Tomorrow, we're going to see how we are to speak with every outsider or with non-believers.
Make sure you make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.